2 Corinthians 5:10, John 5:27. All right, when you get there, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, that's from the South, I think, Brother Randyism. Another one of his there. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. John 5:27 now. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which, I'm sorry, wrong verse, and have given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. So verse 26 is talking about the Father has given the Son authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Get this, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It's two resurrections there. Now, go to Hebrews 6:1. Hebrews 6:1. We're looking at the primary principles. That's what we've been studying. We're studying on the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. And these doctrines are foundational, are foundational principles to a church being a church. There's, you could say six of them. I lumped them up into five, but you could say there's two groups, or there's three groups of two. You have repentance and faith. Okay, those fit hand in hand. The next two, the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands, those fit hand in hand. They both go together. They both dovetail off of each other. Who has the authority to baptize? Well, those who've had proper hands laid on them. And then we look at these last two. We looked at last week, the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. These two dovetail off of each other as well, because just like we saw there in John, there's going to be a resurrection unto life and a resurrection unto damnation. So the resurrection's connected with the eternal judgment. And that's what we see here, the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Today we're looking at eternal judgment. Judgment by God. Many Christians live as if once they're saved, they don't have to serve God and there's no consequences because they're saved. And that's how a lot of Christians live. There's no consequences to how I live now. I'm saved. I'm already under the blood. It doesn't matter what I do, how I serve God. But that's not true. That's false. Because we just read the verse there, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be judged on the things we've done in this body, whether it be good or bad. So there is a judgment for the believer. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Please, God, help us to humbly follow you, to be servants to you, Lord. We need you. We want your help. Teach us. Help us be willing to go where you lead and understand that we will face you in judgment. Lord, help us not just look to what's right in front of us, the temporal, but to look at the eternal. God, please, help us to see things as you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So many Christians believe there's no consequences because they're saved. Others reinvent Jesus to be a loving hippie type that won't judge anybody. I mean, that's huge out there. That is as popular as can be out there. Is that, well, Jesus isn't going to judge all my sin. I mean, this is what the gays go off of. I'm a gay Christian. No, you're not. You're deceived. You're deceived. God is going to judge us. They redefine love as being that God's going to excuse my sin. Nuh-uh. God's not going to excuse any of our sin. You want proof of it? Look what he did to his son on the cross. For our sin. Because sin had to be judged. That's why he was on the cross. Because God's going to judge sin. He judged it there. And we need to be under that blood so we don't have to face his wrath on the day of judgment. That's why we're talking about the two judgments that are going to be there. The judgment seat of Christ, amen. If you've been under the blood, if you've been washed by the blood, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to explain the difference. But if not, you don't want to be part of this one. If you've never been born again, then you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. And I promise you, you don't want to be a part of that. We're going to look at what happens to the people that are a part of the great white throne judgment. It's not good. But lots of people today reinvent Jesus to be what he wants. This is a nation full of idolatry. Full of idolatry. Most of the Jesus that you hear about out there is another Christ. And it's another gospel. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God who's coming back to judge this wicked world. He's going to come back and judge this world. He's going to come back and judge it in vengeance. It's not true that God's not going to judge anyone. We're looking at the doctrine called eternal judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's it. It's too late. It's already been decided. It's not by faith then when you can see what's going to happen. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We got to be ready before we step into eternity. Jesus is going to be the judge. John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. All judgment's been committed unto the Son. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, people like to say that, oh, the Jesus of the God of the New Testament's loving and kind, and the God of the Old Testament's mean and angry. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been the same. He's always been gracious. He's always been loving. He's always been righteous. He's always been holy. It's never changed. There will be a judgment for every soul on earth. But as I've said, one's going to be for the believer, the other for the unbeliever. The judgment seat of Christ for the believer. Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking to believers. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then you have the great white throne. It's for the unbeliever. Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And we'll get into that passage there in Revelation chapter 20 and show how it's for the unbeliever. But those are the two judgments. Christ described these judgments like this. In John 5:29, he said, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We read that. Daniel described it like this. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. There's the resurrection. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They're going to wake to shame and everlasting contempt. Who would wake to shame in a resurrection? Could it be the religious that thought they were doing God's work? You think they'll awake to shame when God judges them and they realize that everything I did, and they already know now, but he's just going to prove it to them on that day of judgment that what they've done is wrong. Look at, this is most of Christianity today. Most of Christianity today is lost and on their way to hell. How can you say that, Pastor? They talk about Jesus. They mention Jesus. They talk about the gospel. How could you dare say something so judgmental like that? Because the Bible says that's what's going to happen. The Bible says there's going to be a falling away. Go to Matthew 7, if you would, please. Everybody wants to believe, you know, that, oh, yeah, there may be lost people within Christianity. It's everybody but my family. It's everybody but my church. You know, my so-and-so prayed this prayer. They're saved. They live like the devil, but they're saved. That doesn't fit with what the Bible says. Some are going to wake to shame and everlasting damnation. Who? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, they even call him Lord. They say, Jesus, you're Lord. Lord, Lord. He says, they're not all going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We preached in your name. We're doing it in your name, Lord. And in thy name have cast out devils. We cast out devils in thy name. And in thy name done many wonderful works. We did great things in your name. We fed the homeless. We helped the poor. We went and traveled to foreign countries and we dug wells for them. We gave them water, clean water, Lord. We did all these things in your name. We stood against abortion. We did it in your name, Lord. We stood against the gays. We did it in your name, Lord. We did many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Most of Christianity, professing Christianity, is lost and on their way to hell. They're going to wake to shame. And everlasting contempt. Not one person, the saved or the lost, are going to get off scot-free and not be judged by the Lord. There's a judgment for each of us. See, most Christians think, well, I'm okay, I'm under the blood. And many of you maybe in here are thinking that. And if you're not, you're living it. You're living it by not serving God. By wasting your life. On trivial things that don't matter. That's why we have to have an eternal perspective. We have to. We waste our life, our energy, our time, our talents, our treasure on things that don't matter and have no eternal reward. And we're going to face God and stand before Him in eternal judgment. You might think, well, what about the shame that I'll have to face here and the reproach for the name of Christ that I'll have to face here? What are my friends going to think? What are my families going to think? For a temporary amount of time. Stop thinking like that. And I know all of us, me too, I have to work at this. All of us need to think eternally. There's eternal judgment. Eternity is a lot longer than the, 80 years we may live. But we're so focused on the right here and now. What can I get for me? I got to save up for the next gadget. Got to get the next latest phone. Got to have a new car. Got to remodel the house. Got to get a boat. Got to get a trailer. Got to get a new gun. Got to get whatever the next thing is. New pair of shoes. Got to get it. I'm working towards this stuff on earth that's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. You're not taking any of it with you. For maybe 80 years. And I get it. We need stuff. I understand that. I'm not against you having a cell phone. I'm not against you having a nice car. I am against it if it's got your heart. And many of us in here have idols of the heart that we're not willing to lay down. We don't want to lay them down. If God told you to give it up, would you? How about this? If God came to you and just like He told Abraham, hey, get up and go. I want you to go. Would you? Well, I don't have a job. Where do you want me to go? I won't have a job there. He says, just get up and go. Would you go? Or are you so tied down to the stuff that you have here? Ask yourself that, honestly. And wife, think about this. It still amazes me. It blows me away. Sarah, I believe, had more faith than Abraham. Like times 100. Because God did not speak to her and tell her, get up and go. She didn't hear God say it. God didn't come and meet her and tell her, you need to get up and go. God told Abraham. And Abraham came to his wife and said, we're moving, pack up. And she obeyed and went. That just blows me away. That blows me away to think of that. That is faith right there. That's more faith than Abraham because Abraham heard from God. She had to trust her husband's walk with God and be willing to say, okay, I'll go. See, we're willing to do that if God said do it. Because there's an eternal judgment. We're going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ And the little bit of time we had here, our life is like a drop in the bucket. The little bit of time we had here is going to be judged. And that's going to be for eternity. Do you want to stand before God and hang your head down in shame as He judges you and what you've done on this earth? Because, hey, you know, I couldn't give to missions because I wanted to buy a new outfit. I couldn't give to the work going on here because I wanted a new outfit or a new car. I couldn't share the gospel with people. I couldn't go learn how to be a soul winner and go out regularly sharing the gospel because I just couldn't afford to give up that Saturday. It's 52 weeks in a year. Somebody help me. What's 50 times 80? What's 8 times 5? 40? So what's that come out to then? 400? Is that 400 Saturdays? Am I right? 400 Saturdays in our life. Am I right on that? Somebody help me. Yeah? Rough, give or take? Yeah. 4,000. 4,000 Saturdays. I thought so. I thought I was missing a zero there. 4,000 Saturdays. Now, when you're a kid, there's not much you can do. So let's take off, you know, 20 years worth. So what's that going to be? About 1,000? Yeah. So we got 3,000 Saturdays. 20 to death. You get up there, maybe you might not have, you know, up to 80. So let's take off another decade. What's that? 500? 2,500 Saturdays. And I know you don't just win souls on Saturday. I'm just giving this as an example. 2,500 Saturdays of our life. Think about it, of a healthy life, okay, for the most part. I get it, we get sick and stuff on average, though. Of a healthy life, I can share the gospel with people. And that's going to be weighed for eternity. What are we doing with what God's given us? Because we're facing eternal judgment. We need to live this life for Christ and seek His rewards. We're looking at these two judgments, the great white throne. I say, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. I don't care if everybody in here thinks you're saved. I don't care if you got baptized and you're like, I can't do it. I just got baptized. Everyone thinks I'm saved. I told them I was saved. I don't care. Get saved. If you're not saved, get saved. Turn to the Lord. That's what we want. They'll be rejoicing right here and in heaven if you get saved. Okay, get saved. I don't care what anybody thinks. We can't lose sight of the main thing. We need to keep our eyes on Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He just got through describing in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, all those great witnesses of the past, those great soldiers of the faith that went before us. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Because of that, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What are the weights? The things of this world that we try and carry with us, that we try and take with us everywhere. Rather than surrendering and serving Christ, we're carrying the weight of the world on us because we want all these things. We're trying to follow Christ, yet we hold on to this. I gotta have this. I gotta just load up with all this stuff. I'm gonna serve God, but I gotta carry all these things. I need all these things, and let me go serve God now. Some of it's getting a little heavy, but that's okay. I'm gonna serve God. No, get rid of this stuff. Lay the weights down. Set down the things, the weights that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How effective are you going to be in a race holding all that stuff? Anybody want to run a race with a 50-pound backpack on? You're like, no, that's crazy. Got to lighten up so I can be quick. Why do we do it in this life? Because we don't look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking right here. What's the next best thing for me? We got an eye problem. Pride. It's all about me. And we have to fight that, every one of us. So we die to ourselves. That's why Paul said, I die daily. We're first going to examine the judgment of the unbeliever. The great white throne judgment is a judgment that's meant only for the lost. I have to get some wood glue or something in there. Every time I pound on this thing, that pops out on that side. The results of standing at this judgment are eternal. Go to Daniel 12:2, please. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. It's eternal. The results of this judgment are eternal. Shame and everlasting contempt. That's what they're going to awake to. It's not going to end. There's no purgatory. The Bible never talks about purgatory. It's an imagination of the Catholic Church to make money. That's all it is. Pay your relatives out of purgatory. It's a money-making scheme. That's all it is. It's not found anywhere in the Bible. This resurrection of damnation is separated from the resurrection of life by 1,000 years. Go to Revelation chapter 20, please. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Revelation 20 verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So it says, they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Who? Those that didn't take the mark. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. So these two judgments are separated by 1,000 years. It's 1,000 years of separation. This proves that there's separate resurrections and separate judgments. One for the believer, one for the unbeliever. If you're not part of the first resurrection, then the second death has power over you. Revelation 20:14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Let me see. That's not what I wanted. Verse 6 is what I want. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the second death has no power on the person that takes part in the first resurrection. So that means it has power on those that aren't part of it, on those that are part of this great white throne mentioned in verse 11. This is speaking of being thrown into the lake of fire. That second death. That's why I read Revelation 20:14. I didn't clarify my notes enough for myself, I guess. But it says right there, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It has power over you. You're going to be thrown into the lake of fire if you're not born again. You must be born again. That's why Jesus said it. Ye must be born again. It'll be a fearful thing to face God at this judgment. I would not want to stand before God at this judgment and have to answer for all of your sin. The people that have died, that die now, they're waiting this judgment, they're already in hell. They're already in hell, but there's going to be a resurrection when they're going to come and they're going to stand before Him and He's going to lay out His case before them. Here's why you're in hell and here's why I'm about to throw you into the lake of fire. And they're going to have to answer for their sin. I imagine they're going to have to answer, why'd you reject my son? Why'd you reject the payment I made for you? I offered it to you. It was there for you. Why'd you reject it? Would you want to stand before God in that judgment? Think about that. Think about that. That'd be horrible. The shame you'd feel. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Jesus Christ is coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. They won't see God ever again. Never again will they see God. There's not going to be any defying God at this judgment. There'll be no shaking their fist in His face. As the proud atheists do. How many of you ever heard of the blasphemy challenge that was put out about 5 years ago by some supposed former Christian? He wasn't a saved man. You can't be a saved man and do that. He fell headlong into evolutionary believing, became an atheist, and he issued the atheist challenge. Blaspheme God on video and post it. Blaspheming God, because that's the only unpardonable sin, is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And people were taking part in that. There'll be none of that at this judgment. There'll be tears, there'll be weeping, there'll be sorrow. They'll want to repent, but they can't. There's going to be no partying with friends in hell. A lot of people say that. I'll be partying with my friends in hell. No, you won't. You won't even be able to see your friends in hell. You'll be weeping and gnashing your teeth, screaming out, crying. It's utter darkness. You'll be crawling over your friends, screaming and crying. It'll be pure fear as you stand before the one you rejected and spit at His sacrifice. Some people, especially the religious crowd, would say, I wouldn't spit it at Jesus' sacrifice. Yes, you do, by rejecting Him, by trusting your work salvation, by trusting your praying to Mary, by trusting your Joseph Smith, by trusting you keeping the Ten Commandments. My, that rears its ugly head all the time. Constant. Seventh-day Adventists push that keeping the Ten Commandments, except they can't. They can't. But they mix it and they make it sound good. Oh, well, we trust Christ as our Savior, but then we keep the commandments. Trust in your baptism. None of that's going to do it for you. The religious crowd will be there just as well. Probably more shocked than anybody. Crying out, Lord, Lord! Didn't we do all these good things in Your name? We prophesied in Your name. We cast out devils in Your name. We did miracles in Your name. God, what gives? And what horrifying words to hear Him tell you. Depart from me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. The Catholic thinking they're getting out of purgatory now. Oh, I'm getting called up. I've served my time. Won't you be taken from hell and be cast into the lake of fire? They spit at His sacrifice through their works. Make no mistake about it, the meek and lowly Jesus will take vengeance and punish them with everlasting fire. The Lamb of God is coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to take vengeance. So what does this great throne judgment look like? Revelation 20, verse 11, And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Picture yourself before a great throne, a great white throne, holiness, righteousness. And in my mind, I picture this huge throne and God sitting on it, Jesus Christ. And I'm this big and He's this big. Is that how it's going to be? I don't know. That's how I picture it though. I'm glad I don't have to be at this one because this is for the unbeliever. This is what awaits every lost person, every lost family member you have. But you stand before that great throne that even heaven and earth have fled from. That's what it said. I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. They fled from it. The earth and heaven fled away from Him. Everyone, no matter their status, will be brought to stand before God. I saw the dead, small and great. The drunkard, the prostitute, the liar, the thief, the churchgoer maybe sitting in this church, the upstanding citizen, takes part in the PTA, involved in their kids' sports programs, the president, all those world rulers that thought they were gods on earth, Kim Jong-il, North Korea, as the people of North Korea worshiping him as a god, or had them worshiping him as a god till he died. The dead, small and great, will stand before God. Doesn't matter your status. Doesn't matter who you were in this life. The dead, small and great, will stand before God. And everything's going to be laid bare before God. There's going to be no hiding of any sin. The books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Everything in this life they're going to have to give an account of. Jesus said every idle word we're going to have to give an account of. Every idle word. Every word we've ever spoken, we'll give an account of. Again, this is for lost people. This judgment's for lost people. I keep saying we. If you're saved, you're not involved in this. Everything's going to be laid bare before God. There's going to be no hiding anything. All those thoughts you had, those thoughts of hatred, those thoughts of lust, all of them will be laid bare before God. No hiding from any of it. People are going to probably try and cower in shame and hide themselves and cover themselves just like Adam and Eve did. When they sinned, what did they do? They were hiding. What did they say? They said they're hiding from God. And God said, Adam, where art thou? You think He didn't know? He knew exactly where they were. He wanted them to confess their sin. You come out to Me. You've never hid from Me. Why are you hiding now? I already know, Adam, but why are you doing it? He said, well, we're naked. What are they doing? They're hiding in shame. In shame over it. And they're going to be standing before that great white throne, standing before God, trying to just cover up everything. Oh, nothing to cover them. There's no covering for their sin anymore. There's no darkness anymore. They're standing before the One who is light. And there's no hiding anymore. They can't cover it up anymore. There's no secrets anymore. It's all laid bare. And they're going to answer to God. He's coming back and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. It says the books are opened and there was another book opened, which is the book of life. You need your name in the book of life. That happens when you're born again. Your name gets put in that book of life. Your name needs to be in that book. He's going to look at those books. He's going to see, He knows, but He's going to show them your name's not in the book of life. Let's go to these other books now. and I'm going to judge you based on your works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. So you didn't want the gift I'm offering you, the gift I offered you, so let's judge you based on your works. Go to Romans 2:5 if you would, please. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Get this, who will render to every man according to his deeds. He's going to give to each person according to their deeds when his wrath is revealed from heaven. Or like it says over here, according to their works. So you liars, thieves, blasphemers, adulterers, murderers, idolaters, he's going to judge you based on those things because you didn't want to accept what his son did for you to cover your sin. Now you're going to answer for your own sin. See, he became sin for us when he went to that cross so we could have his righteousness. He said, but you didn't want that. You rejected it. So now you're going to answer for yourself. Where's your covering? You don't have a covering. You don't have any righteousness over you. All you have is filthy rags is what you're trying to give me. And he says, those are going to burn up, gone, nothing. There's nothing there, nothing to cover you. And because their name's not in the book of life, they're going to face the second death and be thrown into the lake of fire. This is a casting off and a rejection by God. Look at this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's not some like, hey, go ahead and just march on down there. I don't know who does the throwing, who does the casting, or what happens. But they're cast off. That's being thrown. You cast something, you throw it. I picture God just grabbing them and throwing them. Their last memory of them face to face with God is God casting them into the lake of fire. Is it God for certain? I don't know. He's the one they've rejected. Their last memory of Him is Him maybe saying, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You're not in this book of life. I've got it right here. Your name's not in it. Well, could you check again? God, please just check again. It's not there. It's not there. Doesn't matter how religious you are, how much you went to church, if you're not born again, you're going to be cast into hell. We'll get to next week the judgment seat of Christ, judgment for the believer. Likely everyone in here is saved. Think about that judgment unbelievers are going to face and how horrific that is. Who have you tried to give the gospel to? Who have you tried to win to the Lord? Don't be content with just giving out invitations to church. Challenge people on the condition of their soul. We have to. We have the answers. We have the truth. And that's what their eternity looks like. Think about if you've ever burnt yourself, how much it hurts. Just a small piece of your skin. It affects your whole body, your whole mood, everything. Every time your heart beats, you can feel it just throb. It's woo, woo, you want ice on it. It hurts so bad. They're going to be able to do nothing about it for eternity. Someone thinks, how could a loving God do something like that? People will make a statement like that because they don't understand how ugly and nasty sin is. That's why they make a statement like that. And they don't understand the holiness and the righteousness of God. Nor do they understand the love of God. that He would take our place and die for us so we can escape that. It's a free gift to anybody. We just have to receive it. And if we've already got it, who are we telling about it?